Good Friday evening, everybody. Good Friday evening to each of you. Listen, it's Friday and you might be weary, and I might be weary as well, but what a treat, what a privilege, what a pleasure it is for us to be together at the Fall Youth Rally. How many first-timers at the rally? First-time ralliers, if you will. Welcome, welcome. Let's welcome them. Yeah. I am not a first-time rallier. I've been to a youth rally over the years, a time or two or three, but it's awfully sweet and good to be with you. I need your help. I need your help. And some of you have already become brave, strong, and courageous and have already responded to this plea, but I need more. You will notice that there are six brave souls right here in representing five pews. And so this is the news flash. There is room for you. There's room for you. And so some of you have already done this. You've moved towards the front. Way to represent, gentlemen. Gentlemen. Yeah. And ladies, right there too. Here's the thing. Get up and fill these seats, please, and thank you. It won't be hard. You'll make it through this tough time. Let's go. There's five rows. Just come on, fill them up. You're going to make it through this tough time. You're going to be okay. Come on, everybody. Yes. It gets lonely up here, you know, and so having you closer makes me feel all the more comfortable. Keep on coming. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room. You're doing well. You are so brave to do this. I know you are comfortable. Already relaxed and warm. Nice job. Thanks for your help. I appreciate it. I promise I will not ask you to do that again. Unless I need to. Okay. Allow me to introduce myself one more time. I recognize many of you from various parts of the Southeast. I've been to Mountaintop Youth Camp, as Mr. Tim said earlier, on numerous occasions. Perhaps I've been to your church as well, or I've connected with you or your older siblings, family members along the way. But my name is John, J-O-N, Glock, like the gun, seriously. John Glock is my name. My wife is Katie, K-A-T-I. Katie, we just celebrated on the 16th. Which was Wednesday, dear friends, our 15th wedding anniversary. That's right. What? True story. We actually celebrated a little early last week. We were in New York City just playing for a few days together, which was delightful. Delightful. Yes. We have two children, Anna Catherine. She would not want me to introduce her that way. But that's the formal. Anna Kate Annie, she's 13. Jonathan David Johnny will be 11 in November. Two children. We have a dog. Our dog, yeah, we have a dog. He is a Labradoodle, really and truly an extension of our family. We treat him like a third child. He was all over me last night. I hardly slept because he was just too close to daddy. Anyway, his name is Wrigley Lambeau. Wrigley Lambeau, yes. You see, I grew up in Chicago, Wrigley Field, Chicago Cubs. My wife grew up in Green Bay, Lambeau Field, yes. So Cubs, Packers are represented in our dog's name. You didn't know that, and most of you don't care, and that's okay. But we have a dog named Wrigley Lambeau. I live in Dubuque, Iowa. I might have said that. I've lived there for many years. And I won't give you all those details, but we live in Dubuque, Iowa. I'm very familiar with and have been involved in great detail with a place called Emmaus Bible College. Some of you have been there as students. Some of you know people there that are current students. Some of you know people who went there, whatever the case might be. I'm still heavily involved with that place, and I'll tell you more about it. But I serve right now with a ministry that actually started at Emmaus. That is called Believer Stewardship Services. and you are pretty young at this stage of your life, so you're probably not thinking a whole lot about who we are and what we do. But the long story short is we help believers, Christians, make good decisions with what God has given them. And that's something you really do need to start thinking about. And we'll talk a little bit about that together as well. We're going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart. Matter of fact, this is the truth. Listen to me. If I had one subject to talk to you about, this would be it. One opportunity to talk to you about anything that God's Word has to say, it would be this subject matter. And so I'm excited to study with you this concept. Our theme for three sessions, count them, three sessions is simply this: living today in light of that day. Living today in light of that day. Living today in light of that day. Some of you know this to be true, or perhaps you've heard a little bit about what we like to call Momo Nation. Momo Nation, or the Momos, are actions that we all will participate and do together. Why do we do these? I'm not sure, honestly, but they help us remember. They're fun. They can be fun if you allow yourself to get over you. You could have fun doing these things. They can be fun. They help you remember what we're talking about, and they will solidify the theme of our weekend together. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to explain the first motion to you, the first Momo, and then you're going to stand and enthusiastically do it with me. Now, some of you are of the opinion right now, I know to be true, you're thinking, I am not going to do this. I am cooler than the other side of the pillow, and I will not participate. And by the way, is that not the best experience when you turn your pillow over? Amen. And the other side is so cool? Seriously, don't you love that? I love that, right? So some of you, I can watch you, and other people can watch you and can realize you're thinking you're something. And we encourage you just to get over you. And so the first Momo is this. Here's the first one. I haven't practiced this a whole lot. I thought about it on the plane, both planes, today. And so the first one, the first word of the motion, our theme really, is living. And so living has everything to do with our walk. Even your handout that you have right now is a verse from Ephesians chapter 5 that talks about how we walk. It encourages us to think very carefully about how we walk. It's an example of how we are supposed to live. And so we're just going to do this, living. We're going to start by doing that, living. And then we're going to simply stop doing that, not like we're going to die, but we're going to pause in the motion and we're going to say, today. So we're living, and then we're going to say, today. And then we're going to do this. We're going to look with our left hands as if we're looking out there at something. And we say, in light of, and then we take our other hand and we do this, that day. Smelling I'm cooking, can you do that? So it's simply living today in light of that day. Please stand. Please stand up. Everybody, please. It won't hurt you. And here's the cool thing. You can stand up without saying anything. You'll realize that before the weekend's over. You can stand up and you don't have to say anything. It's unbelievable. Front row. Way to represent, God. Love that. Okay, here it is. You ready? We'll practice. So we're saying, living today in light of, with the left hand, in light of that day. Nicely done. One more time together. A little more, hey, you're not talking. A little more enthusiastically now that you kind of have the flavor of the first motion. Do it with me. All right, everybody ready? Here we go. And I'll even count you down just so we're tight. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1. Living today in light of that day. Now, we're going to amend it. You don't have to do this, but for further participation, when we say that day, we're going to say it with a little anticipation, like we can't wait. Think about that as you sleep. We'll do that tomorrow. Thanks for your enthusiasm on a Friday night. Friday night. So you're going to have to endure two more of those. two more motions. There'll be a total of three. When I'm at camp for a week, we have some 14, 15 that we put together, and it's just delicious. Okay. When we have chapel together, we're going to do exactly what we've done thus far. We're going to lift our voices in song to praise the one who deserves it, our great God and maker, creator. We're going to lift our voices in song, which we've done. We're going to have fun with motions. We're going to spend some time praying, and then we're going to open God's word together. So I want to pray with you now. And so as I pray, I want to encourage you to pray. Not out loud, because that would get a little confusing. But please pray, and I want to encourage you to pray at least this. At least this. God, teach me whatever it is you want me to learn tonight, and take away any distractions. I want to encourage you to pray at least that. God, teach me whatever it is you want me to learn tonight, and take away any distractions. Okay? Let's all pray. I'm going to pray with you and for you. But I encourage you to pray that. Father God, we ask that you would. That you would help us all to realize that we are here on purpose. It's not coincidental. It's not an accident that we've gathered together. You have us here for a reason. And so we pray that we might think about our theme very carefully. Living today in light of that day. I pray, Father, we might think about what that really means and that you might teach us even tonight, that you might take away distractions. Father, we are thinking about things of eternal importance. And so I pray that you would cause those who are not interested to be interested. I pray that you would soften hearts. I pray that you would convict of sin and of laziness and of worldliness and carnality. Pray that you would convict those that need to be convicted and encourage those who need to be encouraged. We just want you to help us. So we ask that the Holy Spirit will do that, will help us, and will illuminate your word like a turning on a light that we might see it and understand it, learn it and obey it. We ask for your help in order to do that. We pray that we might be so encouraged by the fact that we can know what the future holds. We can know what the future holds. So help us tonight. Thank you for each young man, each young woman here, and I pray that you would radically work in their minds and hearts tonight and tomorrow and the coming days. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to think about this question. Don't want you to answer it right now. You can talk to those that you're staying with tonight or one another if you want to, or your youth group later on. But here's a question to get you thinking. And my question for you is this. What do you know for sure? What do you know for sure is going to happen in the future? What do you know for sure? Without a doubt, you know it confidently and most certainly that this is going to happen in the future. I'm here to say to you, and you can say it to me, based upon the fact that God's word tells us, we can say to anybody on the planet Earth, this is wild. I love people. I love people. I travel all over the country. I love watching people in airports and all over the place. And you know what is true of every person? We could go up to every person and any person on the planet Earth, and we could say to them, I know your future. I know what's going to happen in the future. Now, we have a lot of people making that claim. A lot of people saying, I can psychically tell you what's going to happen in the future. And I think that is absolute nonsense. True story. This happened in my life. True story. Listen. I lived in Murfreesboro, Tennessee from 1994 to 2005. And while I was there, I was involved in a business. And the business was a billboard advertising business. And my job was to make sure that we had clients, companies that would advertise on our boards. I would sell advertising space. And so I would go up to individuals, stores that are located on Interstate 40, and I would talk to the right person and ask them, would you like to advertise on one of our billboards? Here's how much it would cost, and here's where the billboard is located, and the list goes on. Well, sometimes we would get phone calls. Sometimes we would get phone calls, and people would say, I saw your number on your billboard, and I would like to advertise on it. One time, this lady called from who was a psychic from a business that took advantage of people and pretended to tell them their future. And she said, we would like to advertise on your billboard. Would you allow us to do so? Now, the truth is, the owner of the billboard company is a good friend of mine, a strong Christian man. And we had decided as a business that we would only do things that would please and bring glory to God and honor our Savior, the Lord Jesus. So I knew that I had to tell this lady, nope, can't do it. We don't believe in what you do and what you are purposing to advertise and how you take advantage of people. So I had to go to her store and walk in and tell her, I'm sorry, no deal, and here's why. I felt like saying to her, you know who I am, and you know why I'm here, and you know what I'm about to tell you. I felt like saying that, but I didn't. And I told her, sorry, we can't do business. You see, there are people out there who are fakes, who are fraudulent, who are phonies, and who are like Dionne Warwick fashion saying, I'm going to tell you the future. None of you know who that is. But nevertheless, some of your leaders do. Here's the truth. We can know for sure what the future holds. I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God, and we're going to take some time looking at it. I'm going to ask some of the leaders to come and even give you a packet now that I'd encourage you to bring with you to the remaining sessions. It has our theme on it. It also has on it not only our theme, but the verses that we'll be looking at together. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And we're just going to look at this for a few minutes tonight. I began asking you a question. I have another one for you. The first question I ask you is, what do you know for sure is going to happen in the future? What do you know for sure is going to happen in the future? Second question I want to ask for you is this. And this is true of anybody on the planet. You could ask anybody on the planet this question. Which throne will you stand before? Which throne will you stand before? Because hear me say this to you at 9:49 on a Friday night. It is accurate. It is biblical. It is right to say that everybody on the planet Earth will one day in the future stand before a throne. My question is this, which one? Which one will you stand before? The first sheet of your packet, we're not going to look at this packet in its entirety, but I'm going to try to reference it for you because some of you want to dig a little deeper. I know that to be true about you, and that's so cool. So the first page talks about an individual named Paul who was a person who lived each and every day in light of that day, I promise you. He used the phrase, that day, that day, that day, in his last will and testament, the last book he wrote. But there are other passages, other books of the Bible that he wrote that refer to the same thing. That day, that day, that day. An event in the future that he lived in light of each day. You need to know this. You live in a world that says it doesn't matter how you live. Isn't that the world you live in? You live in a world that says, live for the moment, you only live once, be whatever you want to be, do whatever you want to do, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. These throne events that we're going to talk about clearly communicate to us that it does matter. It does matter how we live. It does matter what we say. It does matter what we do. It does matter what we see. It does matter what we hear. All these things matter. And so I want to talk to you about two different throne events. We'll talk about one tonight, for the remainder of our time. We'll talk about one tomorrow, and then tomorrow afternoon we'll talk about another passage that really challenges us to live today in light of that day. Paul, Peter, John, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, they all lived each and every day in light of that day. They lived their every day in light of what was going to happen in the future. I began saying to you earlier, and I didn't finish it, that I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God because it tells us what the future holds. It gives us prophecy. Some of that has already been fulfilled, where something was said thousands of years ago, and it happened exactly the way it was prophesied, predicted, to the exact day and the exact city and the exact detail. Prophecy. It gives us proof, evidence that God's word is true. But it also tells us what to anticipate and expect in the future. You're young. This is a youth rally. And you should be thinking about your future. Makes sense to. Think about your future. We want you to see this weekend that there are some things that will happen in the future, guaranteed. And everybody on the planet Earth will experience these things. Everybody on the planet will stand before one of these two thrones that we're going to talk about. And it's important that you understand the details of these throne events. The who, what, where, why, when, and how of these throne events. And that's your second page of your handout, if you care to look at it. If not, don't worry about it. But we do want you to think about the future. I want to talk to you tonight about an event that has been described and is known as the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment. The first throne we're going to talk about is the Great White Throne. You see, there's going to be a time that you probably haven't thought much about, but nevertheless, God's Word tells us about this, that the Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign on the earth. He's going to rule and reign on the earth with his literal earthly political kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this planet for 1,000 years, and believers will rule and reign with him. That's something that is incredibly cool to think about. For 1,000 years on this very planet, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternally existent Son of God, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to establish and set up his literal earthly political kingdom, and we are going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000-year reign, sometimes known as what? Does anybody know what that's described as? What we call that? What kind of reign of the Lord Jesus Christ? The what? What is this event? What did you say? The millennial reign. The millennium. That's right. 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And at the end of it, there's going to be the Great White Throne Judgment. Now let me tell you this. And I want you to hear me say this. I know this is pretty serious for a Friday night. And you know what? That's okay. Here's the reality. Some of you seated here tonight, this is the reality. Some of you seated here tonight will experience this event. I don't want you to. And you don't have to. But some of you will go through and experience this horrific event known as the Great White Throne Judgment. Again, what is our question for you? Which throne will you stand before? This is option number one, and you don't want this option. This is not the throne event that you want to experience. You don't want to stand before this throne, but some of you will. And you want to know why? You'll see it in just a minute as we read this passage describing the Great White Throne. But the ultimate reason why you will stand before the great white throne is because you will say to Jesus Christ, I reject your gift of salvation. I do not want to accept the free gift of salvation for the forgiveness of my sins. I don't want it. I say no. I say no to Jesus. I say no to salvation through faith, through simply believing in him. I say no. The consequence, ultimately, of your saying no to Jesus and the salvation that he offers for free, the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the reality is this event. This is what guaranteed will happen to every person on the planet who does not trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's scary. It's sobering. It's something that we do not want to experience. And I want to read it to you. Here's how it's going to go down. John's writing this, by the way. The disciple who Jesus loved in a very significant and special way, he's writing this. And he's the one who says this in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 20. It's in your Bible. It's on your packet. On the sheet that says, which throne will you stand before? Follow along and listen to these words. John writes and he says this. And I saw a great white throne. That's why we call that this throne event the great white throne. It's described that way. John's writing and this book, the whole book is a revelation. It's not revelations. It's one big revelation. And this is part of the revelation. This unveiling or this disclosure of things that God allowed John to see and record for our benefit that will happen in the future. Chapter 4 through the end is all about the future of this revelation. And John writes here and he says, and I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. Here's the reality of this scene that John sees here. He sees the Lord Jesus, the divine one, seated on this great white throne. He sees him. But he also sees everybody else in this particular scene. And everybody else, listen to me, everybody else is doing this. They are trying to run. They are trying to hide. They are trying to get out of there, and they can't. It's legit. This is going to happen in the future. This is one of the thrones. Which throne will you stand before? This is one of your options, the great white throne. John writes and he says, here's what I see. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. Those located on earth, those located in heaven, all those who have never trusted in Christ, they are all trying to bail. They recognize, they realize who's seated on this throne that is great and that is white, and the majestic, righteous judge is seated on this throne. And they all want to get out. You can run, but you cannot hide. Maybe you've heard that expression. Maybe not, but it's true for this scene. From whose presence earth and heaven fled away. It says at the end of verse 11, if you're following with me, and I hope you are, and no place was found for them. They wanted to run. They wanted to hide. They wanted to get away, and they could not find a place to do so. Are you picturing this scene on a Friday night? Hear me say this to you. This is going to happen one day. And some of you will experience it. And we don't want you to. And you don't have to. Verse 12. Here's what he says. This is kind of creepy. I see dead people. That's what he said. And I saw dead people. You see it in verse 12? And I saw the dead. What kind of dead people? Those who did significant things that are dead and those who didn't, great and small. He's talking about the dead, bless you, people he sees. I see dead people. Great, the great dead people and the small. What are they doing? Somebody tell me, what are these dead people doing? Not a trick question. What are they doing? Standing, right? Standing before the throne. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Okay, so that's part of the scene. What color is the throne, by the way? What word is used to describe it? Great. It's a great white throne. What are people doing all around the throne? They are running, and there's no place for them to hide. They're standing before the throne. But what also is in this scene? It tells us there are all kinds of books. Imagine this stage. Imagine a throne on this stage. And imagine on either side of the stage and all around the stage, books stacked up. There's also one special, specific book that is in this scene as well. Let's see what it says. And books were opened, open books all around the throne, and another book was opened. This book is called what? The Book of Life. That's right. Find it in God's Word. What I am saying is what God's Word says, not what I say. So here are all these open books all around this throne. Open books, book after book after book, and one book specifically called the Book of Life that was opened as well. You know what is in all those other books except for the Book of Life? You know what's recorded in all those books? Here's what's recorded in all those books. Listen to what it says. Follow the Bible and see what it says. And the dead, who are the dead? The dead are people who physically are dead and also spiritually are dead. You see, God's Word says the wages of sin is death. And so when somebody dies, they ultimately die because of sin. Physical death is a result of sin. But spiritual death is also a result of sin, which is separation from God forever. And that's being described here. It's a sobering, sobering passage. And the dead, those who have never trusted in Christ, those who are in their dead condition because of that, physically and spiritually they are dead, all of them, they are all judged. Who's on the throne? The Lord Jesus is on this throne, the great white throne. All these books are opened, and all the dead people are judged based upon what they have done, their deeds. The word deeds talks about sins. It's the idea of what they have done. It says it several times. Look at the end of verse 12 with me. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds, what they have done. Here's what happens in this scene. Hear me say this to you. This hasn't happened yet. This is going to happen one day. Hasn't happened yet. But what's going to happen is this. Every location where people have died and dead people are will open up. And all the dead people, spiritually and physically dead, will experience this throne event. He describes it this way. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. So what do we know about that verse? What is true? The sea has dead people in it, and the sea eventually gives up the dead that were in it. It's not tricky. Think about what it says. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades, two other locations where the dead are located, physically and spiritually dead, and death in Hades gave up the dead which were in them. You might not have thought about this reality, and that might be a little confusing, but let's keep it really simple. There are places where this passage says dead people reside. And those locations will give up, relinquish those dead people in those locations. It's going to happen one day. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged. Who was judged? Who? The dead. Who are the dead? Those who have never trusted in Jesus Christ. Those who said, you know what? I will not accept the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. I will not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. I will not admit nor repent and say, I am a sinner and I accept your forgiveness and the free gift of salvation through your death on the cross for me, Lord Jesus. Those are the dead people. Hear me say this to you. I'm not trying to be rude, ugly, or mean. We love you like crazy. But we want you to know what the future holds. And this is one of the events that's going to happen for sure in the future. And listen to what it says again in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they, all these dead people, all the dead, were judged, every one of them, according to what? Their deeds. What they have done. Here's the reality. Listen to me when I say this to you. If you say no to the one person, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on Calvary's tree and became the perfect blood sacrifice to pay the penalty for your sins, if you say no to his penalty for your sins, his payment for your sins, he died for your sins to pay the penalty, if you say no to him, guess what? The only other option is this. You pay forever for your sin. That's the truth of God's word. If you say no to the Lord Jesus Christ and his free gift of salvation for your sins, he died to pay the penalty for your sins. If you say, no, thank you, I don't want to accept you as my payment, then you have to pay. Each one, each individual is judged according to what he has done, his deeds. Verse 14 says this. And death in Hades, after this judgment takes place, in verse 13, every one of them according to their deeds, and death in Hades, it says, were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire. All these dead people coming from all different locations. Dead people physically and spiritually. All the dead, period, are judged, each one of them, according to what they have done, according to what is written in all those other books. And ultimately, after they're judged, their final judgment, which has no end, is being cast into the lake of fire forever, eternal, miserable torment as the penalty for what they have done, their sins. Forever, eternal torment in the lake of fire. Because they did not accept the payment of Jesus, his death for their sin. And so instead, they have to pay the penalty. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. I want to say something to you that I heard maybe a year or so ago, and it stuck in my brain. Let's see if I can say it correctly. Listen to me say this to you. For someone who is a Christian, and I don't know if you're a Christian. I don't know if you're saved. I don't know if you're a believer. I don't know if you have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sins. But here's the reality for you. The reality for you is this, that you are born twice. When you are born physically and when you are born again spiritually, you're born twice and die once at most. I want you to think about that. For a Christian, for a believer, you are born twice. Physically, December 17th, 1968. That's when I was born, my first birth. I was born again in April in 1979, I believe, my second birth, when I was born again, when I became a Christian, when I trusted in Christ ultimately for the forgiveness of sins. For me, I'm born twice, and at the most, I die once. For somebody who never trusts in Christ, here's the reality. You're born once, but you die twice. Born once, die twice. John describes this reality and he says this. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And he closes this section and he says this. Remember that other book? The book that had a special name that was different than the other books, all the other books? The Book of Life says this about the Book of Life. And if anyone's name was not found written in the Book of Life, you see, everybody that is saved, their name is written in the Book of Life. It's not like you have a last second chance here. It's a done deal already. And so if someone goes to investigate and look and say, is this person's name in the Book of Life? Not the one who is before, not saved people because they won't be at this event, but unsaved people. If your name's not in the Book of Life, you're cast into the lake of fire. The second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the Book of Life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. My friend, this is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne. It's one of the throne events. It would be fair to say to anybody on the planet, ask anybody on the planet this question. Which throne will you stand before? This is one of the options. I want to ask you this question, and I want you to be serious in your response. There's a couple obvious reactions to this passage when we study it like we have together. I wonder, as you're sitting there, what you're thinking, what your reaction to this truth of God's word is tonight. And so if you're willing to seriously tell me that, I'm willing to seriously hear you. And so what is your reaction? What is your reaction to this event that will happen in the future, this throne event called the Great White Throne? What's your reaction to this? What do you think about this? I could tell you your reaction, but it wouldn't be necessarily accurate. But there's a few reactions. What's one? Anybody willing to say? What do you think? It's kind of scary, isn't it? It ought to be. That's very appropriate. What's another? Yeah. One reaction should be, and I'll help you with that response just a little bit. One reaction should be, I am so grateful. I'm so thankful that I do not and will not have to experience this because I trusted in the one who died for my sin. And I trusted in his payment for my sins as if it were my very own payment. What were you going to say, sir? Yeah, we need to step up and get after it. One of your reactions should be, maybe you're thinking this. What do you think, brother? Thank you. That's a perfect reaction. All those reactions were accurate. And what he said, if you didn't hear it, is this. I know people who haven't trusted in Christ. I feel terrible for any people that are going to go through this. I said some of you will, but we don't want you to. We know people that will, unless they trust in Jesus, will experience this. And so that causes us to say, let's tell them. Let's tell them about the way, the truth, and the life. Let's not be embarrassed. Let's not be ashamed. Let's tell them how they can avoid this horrific event. So what are the reactions practically to this? Number one, it is sobering, it is frightening, it is fearful, and rightfully so. Number two, crazy gratitude. If you're saved tonight, you should put your head on the pillow and turn it over later because it's cooler on the other side. And you should say, God, I thank you that I don't have to experience the great white throne. Gratitude is a reaction. Conviction to step up and stand up and to let people who don't know about the good news of the gospel, that Christ died for their sins and rose again. We all know people who aren't saved. So what's stopping us from telling them how they can be about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life? Now, as I'm closing, and I am closing, hear me say this to you. If you're someone here tonight that knows for sure that you've never trusted in Christ, and you would like to do so, it would be my privilege and the privilege of others here tonight to explain to you from God's word how you can clearly know for sure that you are saved and will spend eternity with God in heaven, not separated from him in the lake of fire. Talk to us if you're sure that you're not saved, or if you're unsure, you're just not sure, you have some doubts. Talk to us tonight or in your homes with your leaders. Leaders, I challenge you to talk about the great white throne in greater detail with your young people. It's no joke. It's one of the things we know that will happen for sure in the future. Father, help us, I pray, to think seriously about life and what the future holds. Father, the reality is that we, every human being, will spend eternity somewhere. With God, with you in glory, or separated from you, from God, in a place of eternal torment, the lake of fire. Father, this great white throne event brings about conviction, and it's sobering and it's frightening. For many of us, it brings relief because we know we won't experience it. It brings conviction that we ought to tell people more courageously, more boldly about the Lord Jesus Christ. We should live more accurately the gospel, more consistently, so they see Christ in us and might ask us about the hope that is within us. So we pray, Father, that we might understand a little better this great white throne event, and we might think carefully about the details, the who, what, where, why, when, and how, and we might react and respond appropriately. Father God, I pray that there would be no one in this room who will go through this event in the future. So for those who are doubting, for those who are sure that they're not saved tonight, may the Holy Spirit open their hearts that they might respond to the gospel and say, I need to get saved. I need to trust in Christ for the things I have done, the deeds which I have done. He was judged and he paid the penalty, so I don't have to. Father, for those who haven't trusted in Christ, may they do so tonight. For those of us who have, may we rejoice. And may we praise you for so great a salvation. And may we live lives of gratitude, we pray. Help us to be thinking about which throne will we stand before, as we know these thrones will happen in the future. Guaranteed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.